Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Monday, April 19th, 2021. This is edition number one of season four of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church located in Evansville, Indiana. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here with me as we begin a new season, as I intend to go through the Westminster Shorter Catechism, one question at a time, drawing out of it, hopefully, some practical suggestions as to how we might then employ or use these things in our Christian life. You may notice the background is a little bit different this morning. I am recording these editions, Monday and Tuesday edition, from my home. And so that's why the background looks a little bit different than usual. But let's pray together first, and then we're going to consider the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We're going to talk just briefly about it, and then we'll talk about question number one. Let's pray. Father, as we consider your word together this morning, we would pray that you'd give grace and guidance, and you would help us understand these very important truths as articulated in our historic confessions and creeds of the church. We pray as we consider them in light of your word that you would give us insight and wisdom, that you would grant to us the help that we desperately need in order to understand these things. So be gracious to us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, the Westminster Shorter Catechism is a document that was drafted and produced by the Westminster Assembly that authored the Westminster Confession of Faith. And so they drew out of the confession and amplified on the confession in certain places these questions and answers as a teaching tool to guide the church. And so as you compare even the Shorter Catechism with the Larger Catechism, and with the Westminster Confession of Faith proper, there are some differences in areas in which they elaborate in some ways, more so than even the confession itself speaks to. But in general, it follows the basic flow and pattern of the confession proper. So we're going to take the next however long it takes to work our way through the Shorter Catechism, looking at it from the lens of the Bible, of course, and then hopefully offering some practical suggestions and things to think about as it relates to this most helpful teaching tool, the Westminster Shorter Catechism. So this morning we're going to begin right at the beginning. Always a good place to start. We're going to begin with question number one. The question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. There are a number of scripture proofs attached to this question and answer as given in the Shorter Catechism. We'll begin with looking at Psalm 86 and verse 9. If in fact, as you probably noted, the catechism, it really answers this question in two ways. It first says that man's chief end or man's primary purpose is to glorify God. And in Psalm 86 and verse 9, we read there, "All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." And then in Isaiah 60, verse 21, we read the following, "Your people shall all be righteous, they shall possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified." And so even just taking these two verses, we note first from the Psalm 86 text that all men everywhere were made to glorify God. Now, that is going to happen, whether by force, at the end, at the great day, where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, or it will happen as the redeemed of God who have been turned from their sin and have have been planted in the very family room of God. It will happen by their behavior, by their actions. They will seek to live and glorify the God who redeemed them. And so when we look at the Apostle Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, we read there, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And so the primary mission of every person, frankly, the reason they were made to begin with, is to bring glory and honor to the triune God. But Christians especially, of all the people of the earth who have received the benefits of God, have heard his voice as he has called them from darkness into light. He has opened their eyes and their ears to the truth of the gospel. They know what they have been freed from, and then therefore freed to do, and that is to honor God with their very lives in every area of life. And so this practically points to a very fundamental issue for Christians, and that is whatever it is we put our hands to, whatever it is we engage, whatever it is we spend our time in, whatever it is that we think about, whatever it is that we do, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is, but whatever it may be, we should be doing it with the glory of God in view. That is to say that we would desire to reflect to him our love and obedience, through our love and obedience, who he is and what he has called us indeed to do. We want our Father in heaven, we want him to be pleased by our behavior, and we want him to be pleased by our thoughts and our actions. And so perhaps it is one of the most profound statements outside of the Bible that the chief end or the primary purpose of man, but more to the point, the primary purpose of every Christian is to honor the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so as we evaluate that just from a practical point of view, it's helpful to think more consciously throughout our day about the various things that we place our hands to do, what we put our hands to do, or the various activities we're involved in. Does this honor the God of heaven? Does this bring him glory? Would he be pleased by what we are about to do or what we are doing? And certainly, if the answer is no, then we have to evaluate that and make adjustments in our behavior and thoughts and activities. If the answer is yes, then we press on. I think it was Augustine who said, "Love God and do whatever you please." Of course, very simplistic way of saying functionally the same thing. That is to say that if our zeal is to glorify God, and it does glorify God, then you are free and to do that which would honor him. If we would only be more careful to think about that before we engage in any behavior, I suspect that we would stay away from many troubles in this world. The other half of the catechism question, it says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And in Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26, we come across what the Westminster Divines used as the proof text to this ultimate goal of mankind. In Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26, we read the following: Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And so, again, one of the main goals in pursuits of the Christian experience is indeed to honor God, but it's also to enjoy his presence. And that we know we will do as we enter into glory, as we enter into that place in heaven where we will be with him forever and ever. We will enjoy his presence. But we have a snapshot of that very enjoyment in our life today with the Lord's Day and the things that we we are able to engage in there. And so God has given to us graciously the opportunity to enjoy Him in our daily lives as we live before Him, but then specifically on the Lord's Day when we meet with Him in a unique way. And so we see that picture given to us even now. But of course, we await that time when He dwells in our midst and we behold His face and we enjoy Him for all of eternity. So it's a great place to begin. All that comes from the Shorter Catechism really is built upon this very first question. As we think about the Christian life and the application of it into our various areas of our lives, we are reminded again of the very simple principle that we are to live coram Deo, before the face of God in all that we do. Our main mission, our chief end, is to bring honor to God and to bring Him glory. And as we do that, we enjoy His presence and we look forward to that ultimate fulfillment of that in the new heavens, the new earth. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. That information is there before you on the screen. And so until tomorrow, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to glorify Him in all that you do. God bless.